interest in your prayers, as always. You know, we make mention of this often, but I want us to always remember this is a prayerful time. Pray that I might be blessed, and I appreciate Elder Brother Royce's petitions for that, but you also need prayer too, that we might be blessed together. With you know, sometimes our mind wanders. Sometimes our hearts are cool. We need to be blessed together. Psalm 26. I think the subject matter of this psalm is very applicable. If you've read my title, you know what I mean. In this, David says a lot of things, but one thing that came clear to me was a commitment to stand and not backslide. We need that today, don't we? I need that today. Perhaps you need that today. There's so many distractions in the world. We need to be focused on the Lord. This Psalm of David provides us with much to consider to guard us against backsliding. May we all lay to heart what it teaches, follow it faithfully, and be steadfast in the faith. What a blessing it'll be to us if we can accomplish that. Verse 1, a psalm of David. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. What a blessing it is when we can walk before the Lord with a clear conscience. While sins lay guilt upon us, confession and repentance allow us to take our case to God and find relief and forgiveness through the blood of Jesus, which was shed to pay our sin debt. There's not a day that should pass without us remembering what Jesus has done for us. Tell you, it'll stir in your heart, that spirit there, when we remember what he's done for us. And by the way, he's the only one that can pay for sins, isn't he? Of course, he's already done that, but as a matter of conscience, when we come short daily, we have one that we can go to, who is our intercessor. He's seated at the right hand of the Father right now. In his resurrected body. You know, sometimes maybe we think about heaven as just a place where spirits float around, you know. And angels are singing. But Jesus is there in his body. Elijah's there, isn't he? Enoch is there. All right. So there's substance in heaven. They're there, but the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's there to intercede for us. When we pray unto him, he hears our prayers, and he receives them, and he's there to intercede for us to the Father for his sake. We don't have any merit before God, but Jesus does. All right, so it's the blood of Jesus which was shed to pay our sin debt. The sooner we confess our sins, the sooner we find relief. As 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we have to understand that's in the practical realm. That's in the realm of our conscience. Because we know that when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for our sins eternally. But we still have this fallen nature. We still walk around here in these bodies of flesh upon this earth, and we still come short. And so there are things that we need to confess unto God. Pray that Jesus would intercede for us and clear our conscience. But to continue on our way without confession makes a heavy load to bear and will slide farther and farther away from the Lord. All right. So David says, judge me, O Lord. Sin blinds our mind and heart. It clouds our vision of what we really are before our holy and righteous God. You know, if we get self-righteous, if we get blinded to what we really are, then we prone to get lifted up in pride, don't we? Not think ourselves to be, well, we get like that Pharisee who, when Jesus talked about the Pharisee and the publican that prayed, you know, that Pharisee thought within himself, he thought he was a pretty good fellow, didn't he? Didn't see himself for what he really was. But the publican wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. Smote upon his breast and said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Do you remember what Jesus said about those two? Well, he mentioned the one. He said, that man, the publican, that man went down to his house justified because he confessed he was unworthy. He asked for mercy. And we all need mercy every day, don't we? We all need, none of us are exempt. We all need mercy every day. So David says, judge me, O Lord. So we need regular confession. We need to pray that the Lord would judge us and help us to see clearly so we can stay close to him and walk in integrity with clear conscience each day. After all, our confession does not acquaint the Lord with anything new. Isn't that true? You're not going to teach the Lord anything. He already knows. You know, but there's that temptation in so many to not confess, to not come before the Lord as if you're going to tell him something he doesn't know already. Oh, but what good it does for us to acknowledge our sins and our shortcomings and feel that forgiveness. All right? But in confession, we go to the one who loves us, cares for us, and who only can truly forgive. Do you know how it is that our burden is lifted when we go through that process of confessing our sins and begging the Lord for mercy and forgiveness? How does that lift our burden? Well, if you understand forgiveness, it's a release. And when we feel the guilt of our sins and we go to the Lord, understanding Jesus has died to pay for our sins, but he tells us to confess our sins anyway, it's like he takes them and releases them from our conscience. We need that. We need that on a regular basis. All right, verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Here we find that David's conscience is so clear that he invites the Lord to examine, prove, and try him. The Lord knows all about us. While David knew he was a sinner, he's inviting the Lord to look to see if there's any evil way that he's practicing or any evil affection in him that might cause him to swerve from the path of righteousness. See, David, understanding that he's a sinner, he's not trying to think that he's above sin. But he's asking the Lord, you know, like in Psalm 40, you know, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. And know my thoughts. And see if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. It's a practical thing. It's a practical matter. Lord, is there something I'm thinking about that I shouldn't? Is there something I'm doing that I shouldn't? Show it to me. You know, that's an honorable prayer. The Lord answers those kind of prayers. It doesn't take him long to show me something I need to work on. It might be the same with you. It's always, we're all under construction, aren't we? All right. That is where, okay, so those evil affections or those evil way, that's where all backsliding starts, with a single thought that's gone astray. Oh, how we need to guard our heart and mind. And it's getting more so every day, isn't it? Now, you know, I know that this has been a lot of evil in the world for a long, long time, before any of us ever were born. And maybe I'm just more sensitive to it today, but it just seems like that evil is just abounding. Some of you that have been around longer than me, maybe you felt that way a lot longer than I have. Maybe I'm just finally getting it, you know. But it just seems like there's just so much lawlessness in the world today. It just seems like there's so much disregard at highest levels. Disregard for what's right. Disregard for what we would call common decency. We need to guard our heart and our mind. Keep it on the Lord. Remember what he's done for us. You know, if you think about these things in the world, it can drive you crazy. You can feel like that everything's out of control. You can feel like that there's no hope. No, don't think that way. While that might be true for this country, the Lord's above all that. He's in control. And we can find rest and we can find refuge in the Lord. And his ability to take care of us in the midst of all that's going on around us. That's where our sanity is, and thinking about the Lord and his goodness and mercy. All right, so we need to guard our heart and mind. And here, David is able to call upon the Lord with a clear conscience because his habit has been to walk before the Lord in integrity, and his trust has also been placed in him for his safety. And we can do the same thing tonight. And you can do the same thing tomorrow and the next day and the next. There's no reason for us to feel hopeless. No reason for us to feel helpless. We've got the Lord. All right? And he is our strength. All right. Verse 3, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. That makes a big difference, doesn't it? What are you looking at? Where is your heart? Are you mindful of the loving kindness of our God? It'll make a difference. It'll help you. All right? For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. And I have walked in thy truth. Here you see an attitude. Here you see a trust. And here you see a commitment, don't you? When we remember God's love for us and his kindness to us, that warms our heart, doesn't it? It fosters an attitude of thankfulness that motivates us to follow him. Think about that. Remembering the loving kindness of God. He didn't have to do anything for us, did he? We certainly didn't deserve it. We certainly haven't earned it. But his mercy, his goodness, is what brought those things to us. The grace of God. The more we understand about grace, John Newton had it right, didn't he? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Now, if you don't see yourself as the rest of what he's about to say, you're not going to have much use for the amazing grace of God. But if you understand you're lost and ruined and a wretch, now, preacher, that's not very complimentary. Well, I'd rather speak truth. It applies to me too. But that grace is what saved a wretch like me. The loving kindness is before mine eyes. We remember God's love for us and his kindness to us. It fosters an attitude of thankfulness. Motivates us to follow. It is only when we forget and let those thoughts slip that temptations get attention. You know, who was it? Fanny Crosby talks about, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. Temptations lose thy power when thou art nigh. Has that been your experience? When you're thinking about the loving kindness of God, you're thinking about the mercy that we don't deserve it, and yet grace brought it to us. I tell you, when you got your mind where it needs to be, temptations lose their power. Now, you wish it would just be eradicated, don't you? That's not the case. We still got this old flesh nature that we carry around with us all the time. But God has given us his Spirit. God has revealed himself to us. And he's blessed us to know his loving kindness. And so if we keep our mind on that, it'll help us. It'll help us. It's only when we forget and let those things slip, the temptations get attention. So keeping those thoughts of God's loving kindness before our eyes protects our heart and mind. Temptations lure us away and try to make us believe lies. You know, Jesus said of Satan that he was a liar from the beginning. And what else we know about him is he hasn't changed a bit. And the world has so much to lure us away. And then this old flesh can be a willing accomplice. That's why it's a battle every day. Keep our mind upon the Lord and our heart upon his loving kindness. But it'll help us, won't it? Oh, that's the help we have. It's the help we need. Brethren, we must keep our eyes on the Lord, walk in truth, and enjoy the peace of a life of integrity and living with a clear conscience. Now, living with a clear conscience, again, I'm kind of review something here, doesn't mean that we don't sin. But when we realize it, we confess it to God. And we beg for forgiveness. And we turn from it, right? See, repentance is not just saying you're sorry. Repentance is feeling that guilt, confessing it and turning away from it. All right. So we can have that conscience purged. So we can call upon God with a clear conscience. He's the only one that can forgive our sins anyway. All right. Verse 4. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. Do we know what that is? A dissembler? I've never used that in conversation. Now, you may be more educated than I am. You might know what that is. I had to look it up. And it would do you good to look it up, too, if you don't know. That's why you need a good dictionary if you're going to study your Bible. And when I say a good dictionary, I'm talking about one that will tell you what the English was when the King James was translated. Because there's words that we use today that's not used in the same way. All right. And we're not going to dumb down the Bible and bring it down to our level. We need to climb up to its level, don't we? And yet, the reading of the Bible, they tell me, it's at a fourth grade level. And the argument about the NIV is supposed to be so much easier to read, and they tell me it's at the fifth grade level. So I'm not sure where they're coming from, but anyway, we shouldn't expect the Word of God, that holy, that reverent Word, why should we water it down to our limited understanding? Why shouldn't we just read it, ask the Lord to help us understand it, and if we encounter a word we don't know, if you don't have a dictionary, I'll buy you one. Fair enough? Or Google it, that's right. You just saved me a lot of money there. You're right. We've got so many things available to us. There's no excuse, is there? All right. But dissemblers are pretenders. Now, you could read a much more specific definition, but I think that gets the point across. Dissemblers are pretenders. They're not going to show you their true colors, whatever their motive might be. Dissemblers are pretenders. If you want to call them a hypocrite, that might fit too. But more to the point, they're pretenders. Do you know the devil's like that a lot of the time? He's not going to show you the true colors of your actions. He's going to make it look appealing. He's going to make it look enticing. You'll have to find out later what it's really about. Pretenders. David said, neither will I go in with dissemblers. But he also said, I have not sat with vain persons. Vain people, let's just look at the note. Vain persons set their affections on the things of this world. That's all they're interested in. All right? Vanity or vain means empty, to no profit. So if you're spending your time on those vain things of this world, you're wasting precious time. And what commodity do you have that's any more precious than time? I look around me and I think, where have the years gone? I'm not far from 60 years old. I don't feel like that. Where have the years gone? Maybe you've had some of those same thoughts. How have you spent your time? Have you redeemed it? Since the Lord has blessed you to know Him and to know what He's done for you, have you redeemed the time? Or has some of it been wasted? You'll have to answer that for yourself. vain persons. They're not seeking after the Lord. And dissemblers are pretenders. They do not show you what they really are. So why would we want to be with either of these types of people? Now, understand, as we make our way in this world, we want to let our light shine to whomever might be around us. They might be some of these folks. And we don't want to be a hermit and just shut up ourselves and not, you know, you can't let your light shine that way. But what we're saying is when you have choices of spending your time, who are you going to spend it with? If we're interested in maintaining integrity and walking in truth, these types of people will only hinder us and tempt us to go astray with them. You don't have to get very far in the book of Proverbs, and he's warning you not to cast in your lot among those that go after these ungodly things. Again, we want to have a good witness before others. We want to have a good influence on others when we can. But we don't want to go among those people and take up their ways. That's the point. And rest assured, if we company with them, others will know it. All right? Verse 5, he continues here. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Now, I'm satisfied David had a compassionate heart and he would do what he could for others. But again, we're talking about maintaining a commitment and not backsliding. And if we go in among those dissemblers, and if we sit with vain persons, and if we take up our time with a congregation of evildoers, and if we sit with the wicked, I tell you, those things can affect you. To use an expression in our day, it'll rub off on you. Probably shared this little story with you before, but Elder J.W. Hartley, I know Brother Jim knew, and Brother Royce, and some of you knew Elder J.W. Hartley, and he used to tell a little story from time to time about how that he would go off on a preaching trip, and sometimes his wife and kids wouldn't go with him, and he came back home one time with his nice white shirt, it was so clean, and his little son was playing in a mud puddle out in the yard. And he saw him, and he said, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy," just running with those outstretched arms, and he was just covered with mud from head to toe. And he grabbed him and gave him a big squeeze. And, you know, he just cringed to think about all that mud getting all on his clean white shirt. But he said, you know, his cleanness never rubbed off on that little boy. It was the mud that got on him. And when we get around those kind of things, they have a tendency to rub off on us. Now, we could try to be a good influence, and we could try to do what we can, but the point is, if you spend a lot of time around that, it'll rub off. So we need to guard our mind and our heart, keep it on the Lord, and to do what we can to be a good influence. To be an encourager, but not to take up with their ways. Not to let them influence us and our walk before the Lord. What God hates, we should hate. Right? So we need to read the Word and find out what God hates, don't we? And we have no business spending time with them either. when David said, I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. And neither should we spend time with them either. Verse 6, I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. What's he talking about there? Washing his hands, encompassing the altar. Isn't he talking about worship? You know, they would wash before they would enter in and approach the altar. He's talking about worship. Well, they had a little different way of worshiping than we do today. But the principle is still the same. I would hope that if your hands were dirty, you'd want to wash them, okay, before you come to worship. I know it's an outward thing, and Jesus talked about how that, you know, it's not the outward, it's the inward. But nevertheless, this dedication to truth and uprightness was such that David could approach the Lord daily in worship, knowing that he, as he washed outwardly, his heart and conscience was also clean. Worship is more effective and unhindered when we've kept ourselves from pretenders, from those with hearts set on vanity, and from the company of evildoers. What's more important is what's inside, right? So worship God. Jesus repeatedly pointed out to the Pharisees, especially, their hypocrisy, their outward show, but what was seen on the outside was very different from what was on the inside, right? Pretenders, hypocrites, okay, Pharisees, all right, whatever. We want to truly worship God. And to do that, we need to remove those hindrances from our life, from our heart, from our mind when we attempt to worship. When you do that in your private lives each day, you're in a much better condition to worship when you come to the house of the Lord. Okay? Verse 7, he's going to do those things that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Don't you enjoy telling about the goodness and mercy of God? Don't you enjoy talking about the goodness and mercy of God? Now, not everybody's interested, are they? You've found that out, haven't you? Not everybody shares that love for the things of God like we do. Again, we want to have a good influence. We want to be a good witness. Okay? But how wonderful that we can meet together and talk about the goodness and mercy of God. Speak of those things which the Lord's done for us, and somebody else understands what you're talking about and enjoys hearing it. Maybe we haven't experienced that same thing in the last few days, and it's good to know that the Lord's still on his throne. He's still doing those things for his people. But more often, we can relate, because he's done those things for us too. And so we, at that like precious faith, we rejoice in sharing those things one with the other. So he says, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. One who keeps himself unspotted from the world, like James talks about, has a far more effective witness, don't they? That old saying about I'd rather see a sermon than to hear one, or your life may be the only sermon somebody ever hears. Lots of sayings along those lines, aren't there? All right. We need an effective witness, don't we? When he speaks, others are more willing to listen than if he has kept company with those whose walk is contrary to truth and godliness. All right? We're talking about keeping ourselves in such a way that we're not going to backslide, that we want to publish with a voice of thanksgiving. Okay? Therefore, if we also want to have a good witness and tell others of all of God's wondrous works, we need to follow this example. Those things that David's telling us here, he kept him from some things so he could maintain his integrity, so that he could publish that voice of thanksgiving. I tell you, keep your mind and heart fixed upon the goodness and mercy of God. You've got something to talk about when it comes to the goodness of God, because he shows it to us every day. Verse 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Here's where we need to keep our heart's desire. Not just on the Lord's house, but the habitation of it. We understand the church is made up of God's people. This is a church house. I'm thankful for a nice church house. But I'm more thankful for the church. In the hearts of God's people. Okay? And we go beyond that, the habitation. Remember John chapter 15? The true vine. He says, abide in me. And I in you. Abiding in him is more than just thinking about him once in a while. That's not much abiding, is it? If you just think about the Lord once in a while. And this habitation, to inhabit, to live in such a way that we're living in the kingdom of God. That we're showing. Well, let's get back to what we said about it. All right, the habitation of it, dwelling in God's way and living according to his truth. The habitation of God's house. That's what I'm driving at. We do that every day. So that when we come to this house, we've got something to worship, something to praise God about. Because we've been living it all week. All right? Dwelling in God's way and living according to the truth, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. That's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was teaching specifically right there. He was talking about praying for your enemies. Preacher, what's that got to do with the habitation of God's house? Well, the principle is there. When he said, he gave us a principle, and it's a hard principle, isn't it? Now, I'm not trying to say that his commandments are grievous. You know what I mean. We just don't spend much time praying for our enemies, do we? And yet that's something he told us to do. So we should do it, right? Thank you. All right. And after he said that, and perhaps, you know, perhaps this other part came in because he knew we'd be prone not to do that. Was he right? I mean, just think about your own experience. How much time have you spent over the last week praying for your enemies? So he knew. This might be one of those hard sayings like some of them said. Who can hear it? But he said, do this, that you ye may be the children of your Father. He's not saying you will become a child of God by doing that. But what he is saying is you will manifest who taught you to do that. Only God would tell us to do that. Because only God is the one who's done it for us. When we were enemies in our own mind by wicked works, we were reconciled to him because he sent his Son to die for us. He didn't wait for us to invite him into our hearts. We never would by nature. He did it for us. He sent his Son. Jesus came to do the Father's will, not ours. Jesus died for us when we were yet sinners. Now, when he said, pray for your enemies, that ye may be, what he's saying is, if you're doing that, you had to be taught that. And it's your Father, the Word of God, that has taught you to do that. Don't expect to get it from the Muslims, right? When you do that, you're showing who your Father is. All right? So the reason I brought that in verse 8, when we walk according to truth, our works are showing who is our Father. Okay? So we manifest our love for him. Isn't that what Jesus said? If you love me, keep my commandments. When we keep his commandments, we show our love to him. We show who our Father is. All right? So that path of obedience, knowing the Word of God and following it, shows he's our Father. We bring honor to him by showing that we do those things. What a blessing. David said, Lord, I've loved the habitation of thy house. He's not talking about the structure. Okay, he's talking about God's way and living according to truth. That's what David loved. And we need to love that too, don't we? God's faithful ones love his way, his truth, his loving kindness, and the feeling of his presence. And that's how you can feel more of his presence, by the way, in walking according to truth. So surely, they also want to share that with others who assemble in his house. If that's our desire through the week, surely we want to get together with God's people and worship him. Verse 9, gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. There's a lot of that in this world, isn't there? David's already told us he didn't want to live with them. Here he said, I don't want to die with them either. When it comes time for us to depart this world, just as we've not been companions with sinners here and now, may we not be with them in death. Now that was David's prayer. I don't think he's afraid that that's going to happen. It's just that was his desire of heart. That was his prayer. How thankful we are that the Lord knows his children and will care for us even in death. I should have said at death, shouldn't I? Even at death. But we understand what in death. I put something in here, Charles Spurgeon said, the Lord knows how to divide the tares from the wheat. And if it should be our lot to pass from the scene of this life before the Lord Jesus comes again, and it might be, you know, we don't know. Harold Camping can keep guessing all he wants to. We don't know. It could be another 1,000 millennia before he comes again. We just might pass. Let's see. I think I said Sunday that, you know, we kind of have that. I think we all, just by having the Spirit within us, we all have that desire that he would come during our lifetime. And there sure is a lot of indications that he could. Okay. But it might be our lot to pass the scene of this life before he comes again. So let me reread the start over. And if it should be our lot to pass from the scene of this life before the Lord Jesus comes again, it shall be with his people just as it was with the thief at Jesus' side, as he was told, verily I say unto thee, today. So that's what's going to happen when we pass the scene of this life. Today shalt thou be with me. He's not going to send us off to some place with the ungodly. We're going to be with him. We'll be with our Lord. Immediately. As soon as our eyes close, our soul will awake in his presence. Jesus told that thief, today. And you know, I noticed something. I learned something from time to time. And I noticed something today. A lot of times I leave off that first expression, verily I say unto you, when I'm talking about this thief at his side, today shalt thou be with me. A lot of times I leave off that first part. But that's good too. Verily, verily, verily I say unto you, he said. In other words, you can count on this. It's the truth. I need to remember that. Verily I say unto you, today. That makes it all the sweeter, doesn't it? Today shalt thou be with me. This body, if it comes time for us to lie down in death, this body is going to go to the grave. But what makes you, you, your awareness, your life principle, not the material part of you, but what makes you, you, your personality, your awareness, your life, that's going to ascend with your soul. Sin to God. And you'll be able to have awareness and be with him in your soul. You know, we've seen pictures on TV of a, you know, kind of a faint shape of us that represents the soul or spirit. I don't know if that's what it's like or not, but I think it's a pretty good representation. But whatever substance or not, your awareness and your life principle are going back to God. You have an identity. You maintain that identity with God in your soul. You know, these things are a great deal beyond what he's told us a lot about. But he's told us enough that we know that our soul will ascend to him and be with him immediately. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. No in between. That's wonderful, isn't it? David said, gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. He wants to be gathered unto his people. It's one of the another thing I've been reminded of in our daily reading. When you go through Genesis, and some of the patriarchs, They lived so many years, and they died, and were gathered unto their people. Now, when we have a funeral, our people are gathered unto our body. But this says the person that died was gathered unto his people. You know, when Isaac died, he was gathered to where Abraham was. Don't you have a lot of loved ones that's passed the scene of this life? Are you looking forward to seeing them again? Now, since the Bible says we shall know as we're known, then that tells me we'll have an identity. We won't have the earthly relationship like we have now. But what we do have now is that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe we'll maintain that. We'll be gathered into our people. So when I quoted from Luke, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise," David hadn't heard that. But God's Spirit gave him the truth and the assurance of it. Because that Spirit guides us into all truth. There are things the Spirit, there are things that we hear and rejoice in because the Spirit within us rejoices at it that maybe our head hasn't caught up with yet. But the Spirit within us rejoices with truth. And so that Spirit within David, he didn't want to be gathered with the wicked. He wanted to be with his people. And that's according to truth. Verse 11, "But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me." He had a brief thought of at the end of his life, but that hadn't come yet. So he comes immediately back to what he's going to do between now and then. And that's what we have, isn't it? We're talking about commitment so that we wouldn't backslide. I can't change yesterday. I can't do anything about tomorrow. But I've got today. And tomorrow I'll have another day if the Lord gives me another day. And that's what's important. If we're going to maintain our integrity, if we're going to walk in truth, got to do it today. Maybe you've been blessed to do that yesterday and the day before. But we've got today. And if the Lord delays his coming, if we're blessed to see another day, we've got another day. But sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We've got enough to deal with today. So David said, "But as for me," you know, we find that expression several times in Scripture, don't we? Remember Joshua? "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And he gave him some options, but he said, "As for me and my house." I believe Joshua had a commitment, didn't he? Do we? We got today. And as many other days as the Lord gives us, we can't go back and change yesterday, but we've got today and whatever he gives us ahead of us. That's where our commitment needs to be in it. Unlike the wicked and self-serving of this world, David was committed to keeping himself away from such. Thus he walked in integrity. Note, this shows us the quickest way to lose your integrity, by walking with those who have none. also, because of our sin nature, we have to be careful that it not lead us astray as well. That is why David asked, redeem me and be merciful unto me. As sinners, and David knew he was a sinner, but as sinners, we need to confess them and ask for forgiveness. And as a child of grace, we have that forgiveness through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? That we can have the assurance that it's ours. What David knew was that a sacrifice needed to be offered for sins, and afterwards his conscience was clean. So also, when we remember Jesus' blood, that just does something to me every time I just think about it. Because God blessed me to understand what that accomplished. When I remember it, it does something to me. When we remember Jesus' blood was shed for us and we ask for forgiveness, it's like taking a spiritual bath and for refreshing. We need that, don't we? Verse 12, my foot standeth. We're talking about not backsliding. Okay? My foot standeth in an even place. Sounds like to me that's the best place to have a good standing. You know, it can be a challenge sometimes when it's an incline or hilly or whatever, but an even place. Why is he standing there? Because he's tried to follow the Lord. Kept his mind on the Lord, his heart upon the Lord. Life sometimes is full of uneven places. But the Lord can help us to have a good standing. All right. When we follow this example, we're not on a slippery slope. We're not being pulled away into backsliding. We're not losing our integrity with bad companions. But we're dwelling in the Lord, in his truth, with his people, to praise and honor him for his glory. Commitment to stand and not backslide. We need it more than ever, don't we? May God help us. Someone have a selection? How about 205? Just turn right up there. Great is thy faithfulness. 205.